Hi, I'm Stephen.
And hi, I'm Charlotte.
And welcome to Mirth and Magic, the RPG podcast.
Welcome back, guys.
Hi guys, Merry Christmas.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
And welcome to Mirth and Magic Christmas Extravaganza.
Ooh, what an elaborate name.
Yes, Extravaganza Eleganza.
Are we going to get copyrighted?
is that a verb?
I don't know. All I think of is, what's her name, the one in Drag Race?
RuPaul.
Yeah, RuPaul. Oh, what, the one who... Is it Laganja? Is that her name?
Oh, Laganja Estranja. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah.
Is that your reference point for Drag Race? That was like 8 years ago.
It is, but it's the one I've maintained.
How are you anyway? Have you got any RPG news?
Not really, to be honest. I haven't really played that many, other than our Christmas game over the last few weeks because it's been so busy. How about you? Mm.
Yeah, same. So, although there is... The PlayStation sale and the Steam sale has both started today. And I noticed that Tales of Arise is down to £30, so I'm going to grab it.
Ooh, yeah, do it. May as well.
Yeah. And I've mostly been playing Planet Zoo. After I went to an actual zoo at the end of last month, I have been obsessed with building my own zoo. And I have been enthralling Charlotte with all the details as I've gone along.
I'll be sitting there at home having a nice time and then suddenly I'll get a photo of a warthog. Yeah, a highlight of my day.
Have you played anything at all? Have you been back on Animal Crossing? I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, I have been on it in a few days and I went on it for the first time today, mainly so I could plant the sugar cane that you sent me.
Did you get my wrestler figurine?
I did. I have yet to put it up. I looked at it and was like, oh, thanks.
You should put it pride of place, like at the front of your island where all the visitors can see it as soon as they walk off the plane.
All of my visitors, which comprise of you. Yeah.
You need some more friends.
Oh, that hurts. What Christmas spirit is this?
I'll get you some friends. I'll find some for you.
If that's going to be the quote of this episode, Charlotte needs friends. That hurts my feelings.
Okay, you need friends after Animal Crossing. Is that better?
Happy Christmas. Yep. Should we just end the podcast now? I think that's enough.
Well, it's finished. All right, that's it, guys. That's a wrap. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
I'll just go jump off a bridge.
I bought the DLC for Animal Crossing and it's a lot of fun. You basically just like, you get these assignments to decorate people's houses. Like you'll get some like random hippo that's like, oh, hi, I want like a reading room. And it has to be like beach themed. I'm like, okay, yeah. And she's like, I want you to be quiet and cozy, but I have to have this yapping dog, this disco ball, and this foghorn in the corner. Like, right.
These needy bastards.
So you get free reign of the entire house, like the interior. It's not usually just one room and the garden, but you have to include their three items or they're very unhappy and you don't get paid. But you do unlock new things as you go along. Like there's another shop. So there's a second shop you can buy stuff at that you can't get on your own island. And you also unlock things like the ability to put things on ceilings. So like you can hang like light pendants and stuff in your own house. And if you keep going, eventually you get the ability to redo your own villagers' houses on your island.
Ooh, there's some I'd love to redesign. Because there's one guy who just sleeps in a sleeping bag in the middle of his floor. And it's all designed like gravel. Terrible.
I have a duck that does that.
Just go in there and I'm like, it's just terrible. I'm just judging him all the time.
Yeah. And I've seen some design people have made, like, especially for their islanders, and they've gone, like, really all out, like, matching the colour scheme of the islander's fur. And there's one on my island is like, a rhinoceros, and she's a baker. She's got, like, a baker's hat on. And somebody built her, like, a full-on cafe, like, a cute little cafe where she bakes her own food all day. It's really adorable.
That is very cute. Then again, you've seen my island. It's like 90% trees with no pattern to them. Just
well, you didn't know that you could. Top. You didn't even know that you could excavate your island until I told you.
I didn't know. I was like, God, look at all my trees. Isn't this nice?
And you were like, you came to my island. You were like, oh, you got proper paths and everything. I'm like, yeah, I've got paths, haven't you? You're just running around on the grass.
My island looks terrible compared to yours.
You actually have the same amount of playtime as I've got in mine as well. So I don't know what you've been doing for the past 160 hours.
Just catching and selling fish and then not doing anything with the money. Buying lots of hats.
My friend who will listen to this podcast, also called Charlotte, she came to see me at the start of November, and at that point she had no island because she rebought the game. She has kids and they've got like the island that she had for the past year, and she wanted her own where the kids didn't spoil it. So she bought her own copy of it, and she did not have an island when she came up here, and now she's got like the world's most luxurious island. It's insane.
This is very unfair. Why am I the worst Charlotte you know? Very unfair.
All right, so shall we get into our... Wait, I have news.
Oh, what's the news?
I saw a funny article about Final Fantasy VII Remake, which, by the way, guys, is still a most popular episode for some reason. Every day we...
that one, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because it's the first one, it plays automatically. I don't know, but...
Maybe. I like to think it's the same person, like, going to re-listen again.
Someone really loves it.
In a row.
But it's just been released on Steam a few days ago, I believe, and that might be the cause of why people are going back looking for podcasts about it. I don't know. But one of the funny things is that one of the most popular mods, because you can, like, mod Steam games, right? One of the most popular mods for this game on Steam is an ability to have Cloud wear the dress for the full game.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Right? I'll send you some pictures later of him walking around Midgard doing fighting with the fully dress on. It's quite funny.
Yes, please. Jesse endlessly Fabulous. Flirting with him in his dress and tiara.
All right, so let's get started on our Christmas special.
You've forgotten the name of it already, haven't you?
Yes, let's start again. Let's get started on the discussion of our Christmas special, Cthulhu Saves Christmas. So, Charlotte, what is your history with the game?
My history with the game was me and you went, oh no, we can't think of any Christmas RPGs, did some frantic Googling, and you found this one. That is my history with the game. I mean, I've been playing it very sporadically over the last week or so.
What a history. One for the books.
And I've been playing it on Switch.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. You can't get it on PC. And PlayStation 5 now, I believe, has it. But yeah, played on Switch too. It's a prequel, actually, to Cthulhu Saves the World, which was released in 2010, which is crazy. I haven't played it. I heard it's good. I heard it's longer. It's got a different battle system to this game. But they reference that game constantly in this game.
They do. They keep saying things like, this character will appear more in the next game. I was like, okay.
Kind of like an advert sometimes.
Yeah, and they are not at all ashamed for doing it.
Just no. So this was released, I think, 2 years ago, but it was released last year, 1 year ago, and released on PlayStation 5 and Steam fairly recently. And as I said, it's a prequel to Cthulhu Saves the World, which we haven't played, so we can't talk about. But basically, the premise is that Cthulhu wakes up one day in his sunken city and finds that someone has tricked him and stolen all his powers that he needs to destroy the world. So he goes looking for them, and on the way ends up being roped into saving Santa Claus to get them back. And that's pretty much the entire plot.
Yeah, it's not the most complicated plot in the world.
On the way, he meets three other party members. He meets Crystal, who is totally not a ripoff of Elsa from Frozen.
Oh, no, not at all.
Baba Yaga, who is otherwise known as Charlotte. Do you know who she is? Like the folklore of Baba Yaga? I looked her up.
I had to look her up as well because they kept mentioning her being kind of evil and I was a bit confused. So yeah, I had to Google her.
Yeah, and she said that she's not the same person even though she shares the entire similarities in the same story and everything.
Yeah, she 100% is the same person.
And the Belshnickel as well, which I didn't know was real. I thought that was just Dwight in the office. Did you?
I did, actually. Clearly, you have such limited culture, obviously.
They even mention the office bit in the game, don't they, at one point?
Oh, I didn't see that bit.
Yeah, when you first meet Belshnickel, they're like, oh, yeah, and you're totally not based on a character from a famous workplace sitcom.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Oh, that's good.
So you have to rescue Santa, who's been stolen by I don't know what they call themselves, the overlords of Christmas. And this includes many famous Christmas villains like Jack Frost and the Yule Cat, which I did know of, actually. Did you know about that one?
I didn't. There was a couple I had to look at, like The Machine Full of Mice. I was, yeah, very confused.
Oh, that's a Nutcracker, isn't it? But I mean, that's taking some liberties.
It really is, yeah. Many liberties were made.
And then you end up fighting, of course, Krampus. And then, spoiler alert for anyone who has played it, you might want to skip forward a few seconds.
That's probably the whole episode.
Yeah. You end up fighting Nyarlathotep, who is a Lovecraftian abomination. And then that's not even the final boss. Oh, no, the final boss is the Ghost of Christmas Future, plus all the other bosses who are back in the game.
Yeah, who you took ages to beat.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this complex Shakespearean story?
Oh, well, obviously it's the masterpiece of our age, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's. I mean, it is a joke game, but it's actually really fun. Like, it's not long. I think depending what difficulty you play it on, it's probably only kind of like 6-8 hours in total.
I wouldn't even say eight. Maybe if you're playing really hard, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, five, six, something like that.
Yeah, it's not long and it's really straightforward. And there's so many options to basically that you can like skip battles and things and so much that you don't really need to even take part in. So it is nice and simplistic, but it's quite quaint.
Yeah, the battle system, I actually like the way that... So when you go into a dungeon, there are a limited amount of encounters in the bottom of the screen. It'll say like 10. And when you get to zero, there's no more.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you like voluntarily join them, yeah.
Yeah, from the menu, yeah, you can instigate a fight. And even so, you get a warning when there's a fight about to happen, and if you press the right button at the right time, you can skip the fight.
Yeah. So I don't think I ever skipped any fights because I quite enjoyed the battle system, so I never felt the need to skip them.
Oh, really? I skipped a few because I felt like the enemies got really tanky towards the end. Like, it was taking me like several minutes to do a single fight.
I think this way it might be where the different difficulties we played on had a different effect on this, which is probably worth mentioning.
Yes, we should point out that Charlotte decided to play it on the easy mode.
And, it was normal mode. It just happened to be very easy.
I think it was called sane mode. And I played on insane mode, which is like difficult.
I mean, it's in the name. It was insane of you to play it on that mode. So who's right?
I thought it was like easy, normal, hard. It's not. It's like easy, hard, harder.
Because the version I played was ridiculously easy. Like, I wasn't close to dying in any of the fights at all. It was an absolute breeze. Like, too much.
Oh, really?
So. Yeah.
I was okay for the first, up until, what's the old lady boss called that you fight? Being as of a Y, I think.
Oh, I know which one you mean. Is that the one with the big mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know which one you mean, but I can't think of the name.
I got to her and then I started wiping regularly and I managed to do it in the end, all the fights, apart from the last one, here's a confession. I did it 8 times and couldn't do it. So I put it on easy mode and did it first time.
Yes. Join my dark side playing this game. Do you see how easy it is on easy mode though? Like, they barely even touch you.
I think I healed like maybe twice in the whole fight and that was just precautionary. I didn't really need to.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad how easy it is. But at the same time, it's been so busy the last couple of weeks that I didn't mind it being easy to play through. I was mainly there for like the funness of the game more so than the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on my difficulty until that point, it was really tanky. Like, a normal fight would take 5-6 minutes to get through. All the enemies had higher health and they also hit a lot harder. So there's a lot of healing to do. And your main healer is Crystal. And I always found that she wasn't enough on her own as a healer in that mode. Like, you know, because, well, explain the battle system of this game. So like, you get 8 abilities and 4 of them you can choose yourself and they're static. And 3 of them are selected from a pool of random ones that you haven't chosen. And then you can defend as well. And you can only use each attack once, unless it specifically says otherwise. And to use that attack again, you have to defend. And once you defend, all your attacks reset and you can use them again. That means that when you're healing, you cast a heal spell. And unless you've got a special item or something to let you use it again, that's it gone. Then you have to defend. So when Crystal has to defend and someone needs healing, it just leads to wiping. Yeah, I found I had to make sure that Baba or Cthulhu could heal themselves. Otherwise, it's got too much for poor Crystal.
You see, because of the level design that I played it on, I had Crystal as more of a fighter. So, like, she did have a healing move, but I think the only time she ever had to use it was in the final battle. And even then, it was only, like, once or twice.
Was that hot chocolate?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
When she had, like, three ice attacks other than that.
Yeah, all the attacks have got, like, festive names. It's, well, apart from Cthulhu, which are all dark, but everyone else has got, like, hot chocolate, Christmas Eve, and festive cheer, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the battle system's actually quite fun for what is essentially a joke game.
It is. I actually thought it was quite in-depth as well, although I do have my criticisms of it.
Yeah, it's far from perfect, but I was kind of expecting it to be very much just a normal, you know, select attack, select magic, very standard RPG, because it would have been easier for them. But they actually did put in a bit more effort than just that.
You don't even have an attack. I mean, unless you equip the attack, like, skill that you want to have, you don't have one as default.
Yeah.
And you don't have MP either. You just, everything can get used once and that's it, until you defend.
Yeah, it's an interesting system. I did like it.
Mm-hmm. That even goes as far as items too. You have to equip items, don't you? And you can use them once per battle too.
I must admit, I never had to use an item in this game. So,
of course you didn't.
No. Seriously, easy level was way too easy.
I think next year you should go back and play it on insane mode.
Are we going to do a second follow-up episode on Cthulhu Saves Christmas, the second, which is just me crying because I can't finish it.
And I'll play the very difficult mode. You play difficult.
And then, what a miserable Christmas this is going to be.
There's also the partner attacks. Did you discover those in your playthrough, or were they not necessary?
They weren't necessary either.
Wow. So you a bit like Chrono Trigger, you... each person can partner with another person to do a special attack or ability that charges up every single turn. So just by having all four people go, it goes up 10%, the damage that it does, to 100%, then it stops, obviously. So Cthulhu and Crystal have got like a special, like, powerful ice and fire attack they do together. And obviously, if you, like I said, if you wait 10 turns for you use it, it doubles the amount of damage that it does. Baba and Cthulhu have got like a magical dark evil egg thing they do where she throws a scary egg at monsters and does a lot of damage.
I feel like I've missed out on like half this game, basically.
There's a healing one that weirdly Belshnickel has, and then there's a defensive one too where everyone defends at the same time. So yeah, it's quite a complex system for such a jokey game, and I'm glad that you experienced 20% of it.
Yes, thank you for that passive-aggressive commentary on me playing this game.
The criticisms I have of the battle system are that it's not very clear sometimes. Like, I still don't know what Chicken does. I have no idea. Do you?
No, at the very start when you got her, I kept trying to kind of use it in battle, but it never seemed that useful. So I just used normal attacks because
it
never seemed to do anything that specific.
You even get an accessory for her called, gives you an ability called Chicken Eyes, which Chicken Eyes is the next turn, but what does that even mean?
I have no idea. I didn't even get that item.
And also, you know, when you look at enemy weaknesses, it's really hard to tell what some of them are despite the icons. Obviously, attack, physical attacks, ice and fire, and poison are self-explanatory, but then there's like five or six other ones that I have no idea what they are.
Yeah, I keep saying things. I was like, oh, this monster's weak to swirliness. I don't know what swirliness is. I don't have anything swirly. Just,
I interpreted that as dark, but that's just me guessing. I have no idea.
Yeah, and occasionally certain monsters, like, they seem to lose loads of health from random attacks that weren't even in that list. So I have no idea.
That might be because if you cast Berserk on a monster, the weaknesses flip. So fire becomes ice and ice becomes fire, that kind of thing.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
I've been like, just wandered around just blitzing attacks at things and hoping they died. So,
yeah, when I learned that towards the end of the game, I stopped using Berserk. You're not a bad gamer.
Thank you, Steve.
No, you're not a bad gamer. You're just a cheat.
I was waiting for something insulting to come at the end of that, and I wasn't disappointed.
No, to be fair, it's unclear what even sane mode is. It doesn't say easy or anything. I thought it was normal mode.
That's the thing. I assumed it was. And when I was playing, I was just like, I can't tell if this is just normal for this game and it just isn't that focused on combat or if it was just really easy. But like I said, I was so busy that I ended up just keeping it on that one.
My other criticism is that when you use a buff, it doesn't tell you how long a buff lasts for. It does if you look at the ability on the menu, but not in the battle. So you have to memorize everything. Like a lot of them say, like power up for 3 turns or healing ability up for 3 turns or defense down for 2 turns, but you have to remember that all. It should, I think it should be on the battle screen when, just to be clear, because there's no symbol or anything either to show it.
No, there's not. It is very unclear.
So, yeah. But if those were there, if they were addressed, I think there'd be a fantastic battle system for even a much bigger game. I wouldn't question it.
Yeah, the battle system's detailed enough that it could be in a proper big game with just a few tweaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like we need more like turn-based games with interesting kind of spins on them. And I think this does it quite well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked it. So who was your favourite character from the party? Did you have one? Oh,
definitely Cthulhu. Definitely.
Yes.
It's just running around being a selfish bitch to everyone he comes across. I have a lot of time for that. My favourite bit of it was when, like, there's the option to go to the beach. And I was like, what does Cthulhu want to do? Build a sandcastle, play volleyball on his own. And I was like, well, I'm definitely going to play volleyball on his own. Like, the fact that these are options in a Cthulhu Christmas game fills me with joy.
I never saw that. It's impossible to see all the actions in one go. That's why they have New Game Plus.
Yeah. Well, basically, if you select volleyball, he gets some wet sand, rolls it into a ball, and accidentally hits himself in the face. And then a woman comes over and is like, ooh, hello, attractive. And I was like, we just watched me play volleyball on my own. Did that wound you? I'm very confused.
So, yeah, there's this ability in the game where in between dungeons, you can select a location to visit in the town, and each location's got a mini story behind it, and you can build relationships up, or relationships, as they're called in this game, as that is Cthulhu's city. So you choose to hang out with your party members. You can go to the cinema. You can go to the shopping center. You can go to the beach, as Charlotte just said. You can go to the homeless shelter, which is interesting. Yeah. You can go to the pet shop. And yeah, you can't see them all in one go because you get a limited amount of choice. You get like 5 or 6 choices per round, and there's a lot of them. I got everyone's relationship in the party up. So I did everyone's story, Crystal, Belshnikov, and Baba's stories. I got the cat in the pet shop relationship up, and I did a bit of the shopping center one. Did you do that one at all, the shopping center one?
I did a couple. So I did it where you set up a window display and you dress up as Santa.
Santa.
Yeah.
You can go to the cinema too. I think I did that once. And the church. Did you do the church?
Is that the at the cult gathering?
For like former cult members, and Cthulhu's like, bow down and worship me. And they're like, Cthulhu, you've been too strong here. Like, need to calm down.
My favourite ones, actually, is I did some of the expeditions. They were some of my favourite ones.
Oh, really? I only did one. What happens in those?
But every time you go, like, it sets up like, oh, there's an exciting expedition. Cthulhu sent the others. So he doesn't go on a single one. He just sits in that bar and waits. And then they come back and they're like, just ridiculous things. They're like, we went. We failed. Sorry. But we found this sword. And I was like, oh, great, thanks.
My favourite line from those little stories was one where they're talking what to get Baba for Christmas. And I think Belshnikov says he'll make her like a chicken outfit for her chicken. And Cthulhu's like, oh, no, she doesn't want that. She's got plenty of stuff for a chicken. What she really wants is a framed oil painting of me.
Yeah, and Belshnikov's like, I don't think she does.
It's cute. I kind of want to go back and see more stories, but that means playing through this 5-hour game again, which I will next year, for sure. I'll do it next year. I might make it a whole day tradition.
Yeah, it is a really cute game, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's one that has got replayability because you can't see all of it. And it's a very self-aware game. Like the amount of like classic RPG trope jokes that it makes.
Oh yeah, it's very self-aware. And sometimes I thought the humour was a little bit cringy, but other times it made me laugh out loud. So I guess, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, I wish I'd written down some of the bits that I found particularly funny as I was playing, because there's so many bits I actually really liked.
Why don't you go back and play a normal mode and do that?
Stop trying to enforce this on me. If by normal mode, insane mode, then yes, I will go back and replay it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, you should. It's insane. Graphics and music.
That's it. Move along.
Yes, I am. The graphics are 2D sprites. And did you notice that nothing actually moves apart from when you're walking around dungeons and in battle?
Yeah, like, it's a very static game.
Yeah, like the scenes you see in town where there's movement, it's just like pictures one after the other.
Yeah.
The graphics are cute, though, and the dungeons are all kind of like Christmas-themed or some variant thereof. Like, there's a toy factory and there's like a reindeer farm, and then there's like hell at the end, of course. But
yeah, that's it. Some of them are very loosely linked to Christmas. Very loosely.
What I didn't like about it was there was nothing to interact with. It was all very much like just pretty backgrounds.
Yeah, I kept wandering around looking for like hidden things to pick up or like secret doors and stuff, but there's none of that. It's just the environment and then the occasional treasure chest.
Yeah, I started doing that. I started like, if there was like a candy cane covering the something up, I'd like, oh, I'll walk behind that. Oh, no, you can't. From the menu, did you do the talking option sometimes?
There was a talking option on the menu.
Yeah, you could do party talk. So when you go into a dungeon, you can just press party talk and they'll talk about the dungeon that they're in.
Wow, I really did miss out on loads of this game.
There's some good jokes in there too.
Oh, missed out.
The music's pretty good. They do like a metal version of Carol of the Bells at some point.
Yeah, I actually really like the music in this game. Sometimes it's like really... You get the occasional one where it's very like generic background music. And then like you say, you get this like heavy metal, like sinister Christmas hymns. And they're great.
Yeah. You can buy the soundtrack on Steam apparently. Separately.
Oh, it's a great soundtrack. It's so happy.
There's not really much else to say from me anyway. Do you want to add anything?
Because I was about to say kind of what's your favorite area and things, but they're all so similar because it's pretty much a linear path with little deviations, and they all have slightly different theming, but I wouldn't say any particularly stand out, or at least they didn't to me.
Yeah, my favorite dungeon is probably I think it's first or second one, the toy shop one.
Yeah.
With the elves. Yeah, that was cute. It was pretty, but there's nothing really there behind it. But I get it's only like a short game. It's not meant to be like this really in-depth thing. But the battle system is actually really in-depth. So
yes. It's got a good battle system. And then the rest of it is just kind of Christmas quips, basically. Yeah.
But I'm here for that. You know, that's great. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I thought the reindeer were cute as well. Just saying.
Oh, yes. And Cthulhu was like... Can we just leave them here when he rescued them?
That's what I was about to say. You go for that whole dungeon, Cthulhu's like, should we just leave them? I don't
care. Yeah, Cthulhu's great. I kind of want to play the Save the World now as well.
I do as well. I had a look at some images of it online because I was curious if it was similar to this one. And it does look similar, but a bit more old-fashioned looking. But I'm guessing that's because that game's like 10 years old.
12 years old, almost. Yeah.
It will nearly be.
Yeah, I kind of want to play it. You can get it really cheaply on Steam for like a couple of quid, so I might give it a go one day.
Yeah, may as well. If it's got the similar sort of sense of humour to this one, I'd be keen.
Yeah. So, would you play this game again?
I think I would. I would like to see more of the little character interactions on the Christmas... I say the Christmas Eve days, the multiple Christmas Eves that happen in this game.
Christmas Eve the 43rd.
Exactly. And then Cthulhu just been like, this is ridiculous. Why will this not end?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it every year. I'm going to make it a tradition, actually. I'm going to, the week leading up to Christmas, I'm going to play it every year just to get into the festive, cynical Christmas spirit.
I will join you on that, yes.
Yeah.
I think Cthulhu Christmas is a good Christmas.
We can live stream it next year, the whole thing in one go.
We can, and I'll actually play it properly this time rather than just playing, like you say, 20% of it.
Oh my God, you know what you should do? You should play the hardest possible setting and live stream it until you finish it.
Why do you want to ruin Christmas for me?
I don't. I think you'd be very funny. We'd get thousands and thousands of viewers and thousands of pounds of sponsorship because you'd be hilarious.
They were just trying to trick me. This is definitely not the Xmas spirit, Steve. The Xmas spirit. I thought I'd mix up.
What scoring system should we use?
Ooh. Necronomicons?
Okay, how many Necronomicons out of 10 would you give this game?
Ooh, it's a bit of a tricky one because you can't really compare it to other games because it's not a massive AAA title.
Yeah, compare it to like Nier or Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, exactly. Comparing this to the Final Fantasy VII remake, which are obviously on similar playing fields, I think considering what this game sets out to do, I think it does it really well. I would give it... 8 Necronomicons out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree. 8 out of 10. 8 Necronomicons out of 10 for me too. There are a couple of flaws of it, but I think for a cheap, quick, funny, in-depth battle system game, it's good. And like I said, I'm going to make it a part of my annual Christmas traditions.
Yeah, as a game, it's really easy to just like pick up, play for like half an hour and turn off and just get amusement out of it. It's just nice to play.
Yeah, because you can literally save anywhere outside the battle, can't you? So it makes it really easy.
Yeah. And I've actually really enjoyed only playing this for the last week because work's been so manic. It's been nice to be able to just sit down with the Switch and play a game for just 40 minutes and then just turn it off. Like, that's actually more been what I've been in the mood to play.
Do you mean 40 minutes on this and 2 hours Animal Crossing every night?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our Christmas episode wrapped up. Do you get it? Like presents.
Oh, I hate both of us.
What should we do next year for a Christmas special?
Ooh, it's a good question. Because
one
really
that you will find
many,
the answer to.
There really aren't that many Christmas RPGs. I'm sort of hoping that someone makes one next year and just solves that issue for us.
A lot of people recommended I Am Setsuna when I was looking for Christmas-themed RPGs suggestions.
See, I wouldn't say that's Christmas-themed. I would just say that's sadness-themed, having played that before.
Sadness, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't played it. It's like a wintry game, right, or something, or snowy.
It is. I'll tell you what game does have a Christmas portion in it, though, Steve.
Is it Persona 5?
It's Kingdom Hearts 2. I'm just saying.
Does it? Oh, Halloween Town.
Yep, there's a Christmas portion in it. Santa's in it.
I hate that movie.
Yes, but there it is.
And I hate that game.
I was going to say, it's a Christmas theme, including a film you don't like, and a game you don't like, and I think we should play it.
Oh, fine, we'll do that. You have to buy me it.
Agreement. Oh, I'll lend you it. I'm happy to lend it to you, just to see your misery of having to play through it.
That would, scene on misery, would, not streaming it. Just I me going all the time.
I think you should stream it. I need you to stream it just so I can watch you be like, I hate Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, amazing.
Which one is it? Two?
Two, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to be sick next year.
I think in order to play that, you have to play Kingdom Hearts 1 as well. Just saying.
No! I've played them and all about the gummy ship and the Chippendales and everyone. I've done all that.
I love how you focused on the nichest bit of that game that no one bothers to remember.
All I remember is the gummy ship and the under the sea aerial bit.
Oh god, that's the worst. Why do you have to remember that bit? It's terrible. Them singing.
Because that's what taught me the lyrics to that song, because it got them on the screen, the words on the screen. Because prior to that, I used to just sing nonsense. I didn't know what the words were.
I think I'm gonna need to hear your version of Under the Sea.
Well, I mean, I know what it is now, so I don't know what it was before. I couldn't do what I was doing 20 years ago, whenever it was.
But I'm very disappointed.
All right. So thank you so much for listening to us this year. We're both new to podcasting, and this has been a learning experience for both of us.
It has. I need to learn to stop either humming or singing every single episode, because I never set out with the intent to do it. And so far it's happened 6 times. So this is my podcast learning experience.
Whatever, you've got that dress sphere on, the pop star one, the singer one, and you just love singing. Any chance to show off?
I go on the podcast, I whip out my songstress dress sphere, and I'm away. Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot to mention something about Cthulhu.
It's too late.
No. They can tack it onto the end.
Go on, tack like, away.
It's related to you and your favourite game, Final Fantasy VIII, which you've played 9.2 billion times now.
It's a good game, shut up.
When you walk around the dungeons, the way the characters follow you reminds me of Final Fantasy VIII. That's all I want to say.
Oh, what, walking in a lovely straight line?
Yeah, like if you walk in a straight line and then if you take a slight detour, they all take it in turn.
The weird thing is, like, when I initially played Final Fantasy VIII as a kid, it didn't click in my head that was weird. And I was like, yes, this makes a lot of sense that everyone would run around in a tight circle if I do. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, never deviating from anything.
They were a loyal team, is what they were.
Very loyal. By the time you get to Final Fantasy 15 and those guys running on their own free will, it's like, what's the point?
What are you exactly. I'm like, come on, Ignis, single file. Come on, get behind me.
I've got a lot to say about that game. We'll do that episode in the future.
I also have a lot to say about that game.
Right. Now it's real sign off. So thank you so much for listening to us. Merry Christmas or happy holidays, however you're celebrating. I hope you have a good one.
Yeah, happy Christmas, everyone.
And we'll see you next year for more Mirth and Magic fun. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.